Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. I'm your host, Karema Mutlu. And on today's show, we have Keith Neumeyer, who's the president and CEO of First Majestic Silver. How are you today, Keith?
Very nice. Beautiful sunny day, and the metals have been on fire for the last couple of weeks, so it's great all around.
Let's begin by talking about when you first started First Majestic. The silver price back then was about $5 an ounce, and we could say that you started building that company right near the beginning of silver's bull market. So take us back to that time and describe what it was like to build a company in a sector where many, I'm sure, questioned what you were doing.
Well, it's not dissimilar to, me building First Quantum in the early 90s. You know, people were thinking I was pretty crazy putting together a copper company based in Africa. And, we focused and, I left that company in 2000 and then wanted to put together another resource-based company, obviously. And I chose silver for, the variety of reasons that, we can talk about, but, primarily supply demand fundamentals of the metal, which I find quite similar to copper. I find the two metals, very unique in their supply demand fundamentals, and silver made a lot of sense. Gold, there was a lot of gold companies out there already. There was very, very few silver companies. It looked to me like a very niche market, as copper is as well, because there's very few players in copper. So it just fit. I went to Mexico fairly soon after I kind of went through that decision-making process. That was in 2002, and I started looking around for first, I was looking at assets, but I was more focused on putting a team together, because I had such a great team, at First Quantum, building the copper assets in Africa. And I wanted to try to duplicate, a very similar talent base yet in Mexico. And it took me a while to do that. It took over a year to put together the beginnings of what became my core management team, and that started falling into place at the end of 2003. We grew pretty quickly, but it was, and I had very little competition. Back then, you're right, silver was out of favor, but that's what created the opportunity. That's why I love buying stuff that no one wants. Assuming our analysis is accurate, which it turned out to be quite accurate. And I was a bull on the metal and remain a bull. And we hit the timing just perfect. And, today we're the second largest silver producer in the country of Mexico. And we're, the top five, silver producers on the planet.
As you mentioned briefly earlier, there are many demands for silver globally, and they appear to grow every year. But one new demand that not many people have talked about is the rise of electric vehicles. So can you talk a bit about this new market and why silver is critical to it?
Well, it's one thing, if you look at, if your listeners go to our website and look at our presentation, I think the first, four or five slides are all on this exact topic, because I think that silver is very misunderstood. Some people look at silver as money. Other people look at it as a commodity. I look at silver as a strategic metal. And what I mean by that is that, everything that we do as a human race requires silver. This phone call or this Skype call that we're having right now would not happen without silver. Our lives would dramatically change for the worst if we didn't have silver in our life. During your sleep, silver is working in the background in your environment to, make your life comfortable. And of course, during your commute to work and all the other things that we do, we rely on the metal quite dramatically. And, 70% of production goes into commercial applications of one thing or another. And a lot of it's electronics, and a lot of it's, computers and going green, upgrading the electrical grid worldwide, going to electric cars, going to solar panels, all these things that we're doing to improve, the life of us on this planet requires an enormous amount of silver going forward. And I think a lot of people really don't think of silver like that. And I spend a lot of time talking to institutions around the world about the importance of silver. And, people are waking up to it. But it is a slow process because, it does get caught in this gold theme. But, I don't look at gold and silver the same at all. I look at gold as money and I look at silver as a very strategic metal, something that we need a lot of over the next several decades, and we're just not supplying it. You know, the miners on a worldwide scale are producing a little over 800 million ounces of silver a year, and we're consuming a little over a billion ounces a year. And that deficit is being made up from some recycling. About half of that's recycling, but the other half is coming from, you know, hoards of silver that, you know, are spread around the planet. But, you know, this deficit, it has to show up in higher prices, or we're just simply going to continue to drop production, because the miners are, if you go look at all the top silver producers in the world, each one of them are producing less silver today than they did over the last 3 to 4 years.
Do you believe, Keith, that the money flow from crypto and the marijuana sector, and how strong those sectors have been over the last few years, has perhaps played a part in the lack of interest for the precious metal sector until recently, that is? And with the strong moves for gold and silver today, do you feel we're back in a bull market for gold and silver?
You know, the money that goes into the crypto environment or the marijuana environment is very speculative money. And the money that goes into the resource sector, not just the precious metal sector, but mining as a whole, whether it's exploration or development, is also very speculative money. So this is very high risk capital, and it's capital that's attracted to these big moves in these markets, you know, where you can have 500, 1,000% kind of moves, you know, in an equity if you catch your timing right. And that's why, you know, there's been a ton of capital sucked into the crypto market and also the marijuana market, because those types of moves have been witnessed. And so that attracts a lot of capital. But, you know, mining can also supply similar types of gains. But, you know, we did go through a pretty gut-wrenching bear market from, you know, 2011 through, you know, just recently. I say the bear market ended at the fourth quarter of 2015. You know, with the, you know, first half of 2016 showing a lot of, you know, excitement. And then we went through, you know, basically a 18-month period where things consolidated at a kind of a new level. And now we're back on track again to, you know, much higher prices. And of course, a lot of this money will start flowing. It's already, you know, the money is flowing into the sector, not starting to flow in the sector, where, you know, you're starting to see banks starting to finance projects again. And, you know, I think there, I've seen maybe a half a dozen big financings go through just in the last couple of weeks. So the big institutional money is now coming back. And, you know, you do look at the marijuana sector, and it's suffering dramatically as a result of all the speculative capital coming into the mining sector. And, you know, I guess the big question is, you know, is this going to be another, you know, 5-year bull market or 10-year bull market? You know, the last one went from, you know, 2002, basically, or 2003, you know, to 2011, you know, nice run. And a lot of people did quite well on that bull market. Is this another 10-year bull market? Well, only time will tell us, but the signs are looking pretty exciting.
And if this is the beginning of another multi-year run-up in the precious metals, what kind of leverage can we expect from the miners, especially considering how unloved and hated they've become over the last few years? Within previous bull runs, we have seen silver stocks go up 500%+ or higher. So do you feel we can expect that this time around, Keith?
Well, it's going to come down to, you know, how long this actually lasts for, of course, and it's going to depend a lot on what the metals do. You know, we've seen gold go from, you know, basically, you know, a very, very tight range of 1250 to 1300. It stayed in that range for 3 years, I think it was, and it broke out. It tried, you know, back in 2016, but failed in the $1,400 range. This time it blew through all those barriers, and, you know, now it's in the $1,500 range, which is pretty exciting. Silver is lagging. You know, silver needs to, in my view, get strongly above 1750 and then start approaching 1850. 1850 is going to be a bit of a barrier for it. But once it breaks through 1850, there's really nothing of major resistance until it gets into the mid 20s. So, you know, literally $25 is really the next target. So, you know, we see those kinds of prices, which is very, very possible. You know, companies like First Majestic, good quality mining companies, can do extremely well in that environment. And if you, you know, our stock, you know, over the, it's, I put the company together 17 years ago, and it's hit, you know, $25 twice during that period of time. And the last run was in 2016 when silver was 1350 in January of 2016. And then silver hit just under $21 in end of July 2016. So in a 6 month period, silver went up basically $7. The stock went from a little around $4 to a little over $25. So you had an approximate move of $21 in the share price and an approximate move of $7 move in the silver price. So you had a 3x beta to the move in silver, which is pretty incredible. If that repeats itself, and it's done it in the past, so there's, you know, it's very possible that it'll repeat again in the future. I don't want to be throwing prices out there, but, things can get pretty exciting, obviously.
As we begin to wrap up for today, is there anything else you wish to discuss with us, Keith, and perhaps some advice for silver investors who have maybe survived this bear market so far? What would you tell them?
Well, I hope you haven't sold, for one. It's been a tough bear market. A lot of capitulation, a lot of people bailed out, and I've got a portfolio of over 30 mining companies that are probably down, 60, 70, 80% in some cases. They've got a long ways to go before I break even on some of my investments, because I do speculate a lot in the sector. It's a sector that I'm very familiar with and very comfortable with investing in. But, always go for the management teams first. Look at, forget the story, forget the buzz. Try to look through all of that, and not just the mining sector, but always look at the management teams first. Have they created wealth before? Have they built big companies before? If they've never built a big company in the past, regardless of their story, quite honestly, the risks in this business are so high, I would avoid investments like that. Go after management teams that have done it in the past, that have created enormous wealth. And usually it's those teams at least take away your management risk, because that's your biggest risk, I think, in any investment. Of course, the story and the asset, the project, the location, all those types of things are very important as well. But always look at the management team first.
Thank you very much for your time today, Keith. Much appreciated.
Well, it's great talking, and do it again if the opportunity arises.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?